Today I'm going to talk about Nestle Quick Christians. I don't know if you think you're one or not, but you're going to find out here in a minute. And this was a message I had in my mind a couple weeks ago. And as I was preparing my brother's sermon, I kind of felt like this was the text that I was going to use for that. And I'm not doing a repeat sermon. It's different for you than it is for him. But just open up your hearts. You know, as we're going into the new year, we're thinking up a theme of what we want to run with next year. I kind of like the idea of the wind of the Spirit, and I kind of like John 3 here, verse 8, as kind of our text. But I don't know if that'll be it, but it's a good one. And so as we read this today, just open up your heart and allow God to minister to you. How many know that we've been kind of accused of being using Christianese? How many know that? Religious words that the world does not understand. But I don't know if I agree with that, because as we read this story here today, Jesus introduced some new phrases and some new ideas that Nicodemus had no idea what Jesus was talking about. And I say, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. All right. But I believe that we've been dumbing down Christianity. Even some of our translations, I think, have gotten away from some of the words that we find in the King James that mean specific things. There's a lot of, how many know there's a lot of talk about sexual sins in the Bible? And sometimes we the interpreters just say sexual immorality. But how many know there's a lot of ins and outs about sexual immorality? And so some of those words like licentious and lasciviousness and fornication, how many know they all have different meanings? And so we just kind of slap a title on it, and we kind of just throw it out there, and we kind of take the sting, I think, out of some of the topics that we are called to preach. And so today, just as you're going through this, just think of the words that Jesus spoke. And Jesus revolutionized the world, and he didn't cater to anybody. He didn't down the message. He didn't water down the message, but he gave them the truth. And so how many know it's the Spirit of God that reveals the truth anyway? And so we're going to depend upon that as we go forward as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and you do not understand these things. Verily, truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Father, we just ask your blessing on your word today. Open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of God may say to us here today. We love you. We give you the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen. So we've all been in Nicodemus' shoes. We've all walked down there. We were not born Christians. It would have been nice if we were born Christians, because our grandparents or our parents, and we were just born into it. But that's not the reality of the world in which we live in. We all have questions about Christianity. Nicodemus had a lot of questions. That's why he came to Jesus. And so we do have questions. And even after serving Jesus for many, many years or even decades, we still have questions about this thing that we call Christianity, this and following Jesus. We don't always understand. to tell the truth, some of it's out there, isn't it? And as we grew up in a denominational church, we didn't even know. We were like the Ephesians. We never even heard that there was such a person as the Holy Spirit, except in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We didn't even know there was such a thing. We didn't know there was such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there are some things out there that we don't quite understand. There are things out there that when we talk about them, people just scratch their head or shake their head, roll their eyes, and kind of think we're off the wall. But here was Nicodemus. He was a teacher, and he had a hard time comprehending the preaching and the teachings of Jesus Christ. But I want to focus on one particular verse here, and that's verse 8. And I'm going to read it in three different translations here. And I want to begin with the NIV, which we already read, but I want to read it again. It says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And so as you read that, I don't know if I actually comprehend what he's saying here. To me, it's kind of clear as mud. All right? So I looked in the New Living Translation, and it says, "The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can explain how people are born of the Spirit." And so if we were honest today, we don't really understand how God accomplishes that. We understand the concept. Maybe we have experienced that, but do we understand it? Probably not. But I like this translation. It's called the Voice Translation. I never heard of it, but sounds good to me. It says, "The wind blows all around us as if it has a will of its own. We feel and hear it, but we do not understand where it comes from or where it will end up. Life in the Spirit is as if it were the wind of God." I like that. Life in the Spirit. We who are living the life and walking in the Spirit, it is as if we were the wind of God. Isn't that awesome? Well, I think it's awesome, whether you think it's awesome or not. All right. So like the wind, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is unpredictable. And if you are people that want to know what the weather is for the day, how many know that the weatherman is probably 30% right, if he's even that percent, right? And so sometimes when we're trying to predict the movement of the Holy Spirit, we're kind of like the weatherman. How many know that we're usually wrong? Hallelujah. So we may not be able to pinpoint when we feel like the Holy Spirit began to work in our life. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us, but we can see its effects. We can look in the past and we can see the hand of God working in our life in the past. You may be able to see the works of the Holy Spirit in your life today, but tomorrow we don't necessarily know where the Spirit of God will lead us. So it's that way with us who walk in the Spirit. There is not a predestinated course. Wouldn't it be nice to figure out where we're going? Or how the Spirit of God's going to work tomorrow. But the truth is, I'm glad we don't, because that's part of the fun of it. Amen. Serving God, because we don't know, as the song says, what tomorrow holds. Hallelujah. Especially when you walk in the Spirit. So all I can say is, if you're walking in the Spirit, you better as well hang on for the ride, because you don't know where God's going to take you. So I want to tell you a story of two Christmases, and it is because of what God had done in my brother's life. My brother was kind of the black sheep of the family. He kind of did his own thing. We were raised in a religious home, but we weren't raised in a home where salvation actually took place. But we had one Christmas Eve. I was in middle school, and we got a call from our house that my brother had wrapped his car, a rebuilt Mustang, around a telephone pole. Him and his buddy had decided they were going to have a little party, and he wrecked his car. And so let me tell you, that wasn't exactly a great Christmas for our family. But there was a second Christmas that came, and it was a year later. And during that year, my brother had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and a change had come into his life. And it was a much better Christmas. And for one, it was kind of a guilt Christmas for my brother. And so we got some pretty good Christmas. As a teenager, I got a .22 and a buck knife. So it's like, bring it on, right? But I think the greatest gift that God had given us that following Christmas is that I had a new brother. His life had changed from night to day. And so that was the beginning of the change that took place in my brother's life. We saw the working of the Holy Spirit. He was the first to be called into the ministry ever that we know of in our entire family, history of our family. That's exciting to see where God had taken him from and where God had taken him to the present. And so we never know how the Holy Spirit works, but we do see the evidence of him working, right? And so I didn't have to read about it. I didn't have to hear about it in a sermon. I didn't have to turn on a TV show to hear a testimony. I saw it happen before my very eyes. And so the Holy Spirit does incredible work in the lives of people. So I'd like to give you an analogy here today. And so that analogy is our Christian experience is like drinking Nestle Quick. We all know what Nestle Quick is. It is the poor man's chocolate milk, right? All right. And so you pour a glass of milk and you scoop in the Nestle Quick and you stir it up. But how many know that if you don't drink it right away after stirring it up, the chocolate tends to settle on the bottom, right? And so you have to keep stirring it. Or as you drink the cup and you get to the bottom, you'll see some muck on the bottom of your cup, those dregs, right, of chocolate. And so I got to thinking here as I was going through this of Paul's command to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul writes this. He said, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So I don't know about you, if you have a charcoal grill. I can't imagine anybody cooking with charcoal. Don't give me that. That's old-fashioned stuff. We were on our missions trip, and I saw them trying to light the charcoal, and they're fanning that thing to get it going. Give me the gas. All right. Any day. That's what they say. All those chemicals they put in those little things, yes, makes it taste better. Well, when we see the report that there's a fire at your house, we'll know why. Pastor Chris is grilling out, yes. We're going to go back to the King James, which says this. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And so we all know what that is. We've all sat around a campfire or had a fireplace, and we know that as the fire burns down, we know that it kind of gets crusted over with ashes and stuff. But what do? You get a stick or you get the poker, you begin to stir it up, and what? It begins to glow, and it begins to put off heat once again. And so as we're looking at this, it's saying here, Paul is saying, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. This Greek word for gift is charisma. We all know that. Charis is the word for grace in the Greek, and they are gifts of grace that God has given us. So charisma means grace, it means favor, it means benefit. What was Timothy's gift? What is Paul referring to here? I think it entails everything. It's a spiritual in nature that what he's talking about, stirring up Timothy. It could be his calling. It could be his ministry, his talents, his skills. He's saying, Timothy, stir them up. It could be about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many know that if you want to be revived in the Holy Spirit, you got to speak in tongues. You got to use that prayer language that God has given. And you have to be prepared. So it's more the natural ability that Paul is referring to in encouraging Timothy to do. It was a special empowerment of God which involves the Holy Spirit. So whether it was his ministry or his calling, how many know you need the Holy Spirit? Amen. We need his blessing upon our life because if God calls, he's also going to equip. And so Timothy was equipped with the Spirit. So Timothy was urged to develop or stir up or use this gift through regular use. I read in the commentary, and this kind of struck me, and it said this. It said, he did not need a new gift, but was to rekindle the gift he already had. Isn't that good? Some of us We always are looking for the new. And God's saying, use what you have. Hallelujah. So back to my analogy. If we wait too long to drink the milk, what? The chocolate settles on the bottom. It loses its chocolatiness. Linda's not here because she likes me mispronouncing things so she can correct me. But it loses its chocolate flavor. How's that? It loses its potency. So what's our first response? We think, well, there's not enough chocolate, so what do we want to do? We want to add some more. And how many, that seems logical, but how many know that the more chocolate you put in, maybe the grosser it gets, right? It's gross just to drink a little milky chocolate milk, but it's even more gross to have too much chocolate. So, all we need to do, right, is don't be so lazy, get the spoon and stir it back up, right? So, most of us know what I'm talking about here today when it comes to spiritual health and vitality. We tend to think that more is better. Come on, you go to a restaurant, right? If you eat with Joe, he thinks more is better. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's a deception. That is a deception of the enemy to think that's true. In the movie Sabrina, there's this line where she's taking pictures, and she's asking the guy, what do you want me to take in this picture? They were selling a piece of property, and so they were going to take some pictures of the scenery surrounding the house. And he goes, well, all of it. And she comes up with this phrase that says, sometimes more is just more. And I think we've taken that in our Christian attitude that the more we can take in, the better off we're going to be. But sometimes more is just more. Because sometimes the more we bring in, the less we use. And sometimes we can get in a place of condemnation that we're not even using what God has already equipped us with. How many of you know the enemy is good to deceive us that we never have enough, that we need to constantly be bringing in? But how many know, just like a pond, fresh water comes in and water needs to go out or it becomes stagnant? Christians, we need to be putting out. If we're going to take more in, give something out, right? Maybe it's time that we really think about what I'm saying here today and begin to ask God not to give us more, but to help us to use what we already have. The problem is, for most of us, we already have enough chocolate. We do. We just need to stir it up. Many times we are so overwhelmed by things in life that we put high expectations on ourselves and we kind of lose out what God wants to do in us and through us. A lot of times we try to tackle too many things at the same time. Put too many things on our plate, try to just kind of get too little too busy for the Lord. Instead of focusing on two or three areas of our lives, we try to do a complete overhaul. Instead of looking at our life in segments or allowing God to speak to us and reveal some areas that we need to work on, we're looking at the big picture and we're thinking, man, I got to do it all. And when we look at the big picture, how many know it kind of paralyzes us? I look out my kitchen window probably every day of my life at my home. And when I look at our landscaping endeavor, I kind of am paralyzed by the fact that it's so big. We started this project a year ago, worked all last summer. We worked a good portion of this summer. And it doesn't even look like we did anything. And it's frustrating because you're looking at the big picture of this thing that, are we ever going to get this done? We want to do it so we can have people over our house and we can entertain people and just have a place to go and just enjoy fellowship with people. And so that's kind of in the back of my mind. It gets me frustrated because we're kind of locked out of doing that at this point. There is so much to do and so little time to do it. So you know what I do? I don't do anything. So there are times, that, and I'm getting to that place, the temperature's starting to go back down a little bit, and I have to refocus. Instead of looking at the big picture, I have to take little segments and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on this. And forget about the rest. I don't know about you, but I am a big project. My wife's been working on me for 36 years. She dated me for about a year, so I'll give her the 36. I'm a project. Pastor Whitney has worked with me, and she knows I'm a project. It's just the way it is. And when I read the Bible, I see a lot of areas where I need improvement. And how many know the Bible knowledge without the Spirit leads to death? There is a place that we can get where we can idolize the Bible. Where the Bible, the Word, I want to tell you today, is not the answer. Ooh. Jesus accused the Pharisees of trying to find salvation in the Scriptures, through the Scriptures. And Jesus turned around and said, hey, the Scriptures speak of me. So understand what I'm saying here today. The Word of God points us to Jesus. The answers are not in the Word, because the Word tells us what Jesus can do. The promises that are found there, there's no magical formula in the Bible. Just because we quote a scripture over and over, it doesn't make it necessarily something that's going to happen in our lives. But what it does is it focuses us on the one who can do it. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Jesus accused the Pharisees of searching the scriptures for salvation. But how many know salvation is in Jesus Christ? Deliverance is in Jesus Christ. Healing is in Jesus Christ. Encouragement is in Jesus Christ. The Bible leads us to Jesus. It is the tool of the Holy Spirit. It is made alive, as the scripture says. It's alive and powerful. Why? Because it's what the Holy Spirit uses to work in our life. And the Bible teaches us and invites us to walk in the Spirit. So let's go back to John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. As I said, we can describe the what. Yes, we know that we are to be born again. But how? That's God's department. How he does that, we can't really understand it. The wind blows all around us, and if it has a will of its own, we feel and hear it, but we do not understand where it comes from or where it will end up. And this is my whole gist, and I didn't get to where I wanted to go in this sermon, so I may have to preach a part two. But life in the Spirit is as if it were the wind of God. Folks, Christ in us. Christ in us. There should be people looking at our lives and saying, we don't understand. We don't understand. Do we understand the wind, where it comes from, where it's going? No. Do we understand the working of the Spirit, where it began and where it's going to end? No. And it's the same thing with us as believers today. So many times we settle for the same old, same old. But God has a whole lot more in store for us. Life in the Spirit is unpredictable. It blows all around us as if it has a will of its own. We feel it, we hear it, but we don't understand it. Can we just accept the fact that life in the Spirit cannot be predicted? It cannot be manufactured. We can't manufacture a movement of God. We can't can it or box it. We'd be very rich if we could do that. He cannot be manipulated. He cannot be coerced. He cannot. Think about what I'm saying here today. He shows up when he wants to show up. He does what he wants when he wants to do it. But the Spirit has a will of his own. He has his own timetable and his own way of doing things. All we can do is prepare. Prepare what? Prepare ourselves. We need to come with an expectancy that he's going to show up. We need to prepare our hearts. We need to walk in obedience. That's a big one that we don't like to talk about. We just want to come to church, have a meeting with God, and go our way. Walk in obedience. Pray up, study up, look up, listen up. And as Paul wrote to Timothy, stir up. We are Nestle Quick Christians. Folks, it's not a one dab will do you. It's not something that we receive, because if we're going to sit on it, guess what? Right? Becomes dregs in our life. It becomes ineffectual in our life. So let me encourage you today to stir up. That's what Paul was writing to Timothy. Yes. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. You are called. You are gifted. But guess what? You can't rest on that. And church, we can't rest on that. If we want to experience the wind of the Spirit, we've got to prepare ourselves. We can't make him. The day we think we can make God do anything, you've been deceived. But what we can do is prepare ourselves ready for a move of the Holy Spirit. So if you'll come, we need to do our part. We need to stir up the gift or the gifts that are within us. Why do we want to do that? So he can do his part. The disciples asked Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Jesus said, that's not your business. That's not your business. That's God's business. The times and the seasons are in God's hands. Folks, let's prepare for a season where the Holy Spirit can do what he wants. But he's got to have vessels that are ready, are willing. Let's prepare our hearts. Father, we come to you today and we don't always understand. I believe that, yes, we operate in a faith realm. I know there are promises, but the timetable is yours. It's great to see people healed right away, but we've also seen people healed over a period of time. Do we understand that? No. Some of us have been witnessing to people for years, and we just don't see anything happening, but Lord, you have a timetable. You are diligently working in that person's life. You are diligently getting them ready. Our job is to keep on sharing, to keep on loving, keep on being patient and long-suffering and trusting you that you will bring them into the kingdom. That works in every avenue of our lives. It'd be so great to say, Lord, I want this today. But maybe today isn't the day. Maybe it's tomorrow or next week or next month. So we release and we take our hands off of the time schedule. Our job is to trust your word, to stand on your promises, never give up, but also to trust that you know and that you're working. We plant. We water. but you cause the growth. We surrender to that today. God, get us prepared for what you have for this body of believers. Lord, you're already working in some of their lives in different areas, Lord, and we're grateful for that. It's exciting to hear the testimony of what God's doing in our kids and in people's lives that they're touching outside of our local meeting. We are excited. But today, Lord, it begins with us. Just to begin to stir up what we've maybe allowed to settle. Help us to stir it up this morning, Lord. Remind us to keep stirring it up. To keep expecting. To keep praying. Keep studying. Keep looking up. Keep listening. Hallelujah. Lord, whether we like it or not, we're like Nestle Quick Christians. It's a constant thing that we have to keep after. As the saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. Lord, we want to use it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.